Welcome to The Patriot, 1776. Hi, this is John Mady, and I am the pastor of Victory Baptist Church in North Fort Myers, Florida. And who is the Patriot of 1776? You are, and I am, and so is everyone who loves America and wants to follow the principles of our founding fathers. The last sentence of the Declaration of Independence reads like this: "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." If it had not been for the Patriots of 1776, we would still be paying taxes to England and drinking a spot of tea at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Help us win back America now, just like the Patriots of 1776 won America in the first place. You should take notes and use your Bible. We will give you our mailing address later. Today's question is, who should be in charge of God's government? Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. That's how our message is going to start out today. We're going to take a look at Romans 13, verses 1 through 4 to start with. And let's read those four verses. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou therefore not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he that beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." Romans 13, 1 through 4 is a rather interesting portion of Scripture. There are some things here that may change our minds about some things that we have heard before in these verses. But let's start out with verse number 13. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Don't forget the three institutions of God that keep order in the world. First is the family. The second is the church. And the third is government. These three together should keep order in the world. But when the people who are godless take charge of any of these, then the balance is upset. And when we look here, we see in verse number 13, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." Well, who are the higher powers? And the next part says, "For there is no power but of God." The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, there are people who think that when it says the powers that be are ordained of God means that whoever's in office, that God wants them to be there. That is not the case. In Acts 1:8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." There is no power but of God. The only way that anyone has any power is after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And so we see that there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. And in 1 John 1:4, it talks about the power, and it says, "Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So is this power in all people? No. This power is in God's people. God doesn't give his power to lost people. Now, God has used lost people and lost kings to punish the believers, to punish Israel, to punish Christians. But that doesn't mean that these are men and women who are God's people. God does not ordain lost people to take care of his government. He doesn't ordain lost people to take care of his church. And he certainly doesn't take care of use lost people to take care of the family. And so when it says in verse number 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, every soul is talking about every person on earth. And unto the higher powers is talking about God. For there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. So God has an order to pick out how the family should be run and how the church should be run and how government should be run. Look in the second verse. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, when it says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, are they resisting government or are they resisting God? I would venture to say, and what follows here, it says that they resist God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. Now look at the last part. I don't hear very many preachers talking about this last part. But it does say, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. All right? And they that resist, resist what? Resist the power. Not, and they that resist government, but resist the power. They that resist God shall receive to themselves damnation. Who is it that goes to hell? Those people who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Proverbs 16:12. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. So, it's a very bad thing for kings to commit wickedness. Who commits wickedness? Normally, when we think of wickedness, we think of godless people. Are there godless people around the world who lead countries? Yes. It is an abomination to kings, to world leaders, leaders of countries. It is an abomination to commit wickedness. For the throne, the leadership, is established by righteousness. Righteousness, right acting towards God. And look at Proverbs 28:4. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Okay, who is it that praises that forsakes the law? It's the wicked people. In America today, in the year 2016, there is lawlessness going on. The government, they've got two jobs. One is to protect the people, and the second one is to uphold the law. And the administration that's there now do neither one of these things. And it says, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. And all you have to do is to look and see, who is it that these people who are in charge of our government, who is it that they praise? They praise the wicked. But such as keep the law contend with them. And here's where Christians come in. It says, but such as keep the law. Who keeps the law? Who keeps God's law? It's God's people. But when we don't keep the law, then we're in trouble. But here it says, such as keep the law, contend with them. Contend? What do you mean, contend? If we keep the law, then we oppose these people, and we contend with them. We hear about contending, especially when we've talked about boxing, that number one contender, the number two contender, the number three contender, rating the best boxers. And it says for us as God's people that such as keep the law contend with them. So we should be contending with the people who do not keep the law. In verse number 3 it says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." When it says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil," it means exactly that. What does the leader of a country do? Does the leader of a country help people who are doing good works? Does the leader of a country help people who are following the Lord? Are they good to churches? Or do they fight the churches all the time and try to bring them down? If a man is a God-fearing man, he's not going to be a terror to the good works that God's people do, but he's going to be a terror to the evil works. Then it goes on in that verse, "Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power?" And when they remember again, "Wilt thou then not be afraid of the Lord, of God?" Because there's only one place where power comes from. The ultimate power is God. "Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." So when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing as God's people, then we're going to have praise, it says, of the same. What is the same? It's the ruler who is a godly ruler. He's going to say, "Good job." You never hear Obama saying, "Good job" to the churches. What he's saying is, "Good job, Allah." Think of these rulers: Hitler, Lenin, Stalin, Mussolini, Castro. Just think of those rulers for a minute. Would you say that these rulers are not a terror to good works? They're not. "Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power?" Talking about these men, that they are not afraid of God. But it tells us, "Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." And it's talking about of the same godly people. Those people that we just named, those people are a terror to good works. And they do things that are contrary to good works. Look at verse number 4. It describes the man that is in charge of a country, the king, the president, whoever is in charge of the country. It says about him in verse number 4, "For he is a minister of God to thee for good." And to thee, who is thee? It's the godly man living in that country. And it says that this godly leader is a minister of God. And it's to the believers, and he's a minister for good. "But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain." In other words, a godly man, a godly king, is going to follow the law. He's not above the law. And he's going to bear not the sword in vain. If you need to be punished, you're going to be punished the way God says so. And then it goes on in that verse and it says, "For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." Now, here again, imagine these rulers such as Hitler, Lenin, Stalin, Mussolini, Castro. Would you say about those men that he is a minister of God to believers for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God. Would you call any of those men ministers of God? Would you call any of those men a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil? You have to remember something. They're not against evil. They participate in evil. And they don't follow the law. That's why back in Proverbs 28:4, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Who is them? The wicked. Believers contend with the wicked. We're not just supposed to stand around and do whatever they say. We're supposed to contend with them and bring the country back to following God. And we have one more reference that I really enjoy. Ecclesiastes is one of my favorite books. A lot of the books are one of my favorite books. But Ecclesiastes 10:4, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. Again, Hitler, Lenin, Stalin, Mussolini, Castro, when it says leave not thy place, just as an example, you're German, it's the 1930s. Hitler comes to power and one thing at a time begins controlling the people. You can only buy a certain kind of a light bulb. You can only use so much water to flush your toilet. And people who complain seem to just disappear during the night. Okay, Christian, what do you do? Leave not thy place. And what is your place? You don't hide, and you don't give ground to godless leaders. Look at all the prophets that were killed by godless leaders. Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. For yielding pacifieth great offenses. Strong's Concordance says to allow. So in our verse, when it says, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. Yielding allows greater offenses. If you think that it's bad now, don't do anything, and it absolutely will get worse. As God's people, we have already allowed too many things to happen. The heat has already turned up on the proverbial frog. We are already comfortable in this warm water. The water will boil, and soon the foundation for freedom will be destroyed. And David said in Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's what this program is all about. When the godless are leading the government, it's time to take it back. Look at Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And look at 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's the illustration about the basketball coach that goes into the locker room at halftime. He's down 24 points. What does he say to his team? You know, I think about that, and I try to look at where we are. We talk about 2 Chronicles 7:14, and even though God says if the believers reject sin, if God's people will ask forgiveness of sin, if they will seek his face, then he will heal our land. And we look at that and we say, oh, no, it's too late. We can't do it. Oh, yes, we can. If he promised that until he takes out 2 Chronicles 7:14, we still have a chance. The problem is we, God's people. That's what the problem is. Because We just don't want to do what we're supposed to do. We're afraid to do what we're supposed to do. Even back there in Ecclesiastes 10:4, where it tells us, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth or allows greater offenses. Now, you're the basketball coach. You go in at halftime into the locker room, and you're down 24 points. What does he say to his team? Does he try to go to the chalkboard and set up one really, really secret, good play that they're going to come out and they're going to get this basket because it's such a great one? And on that first basket, they're going to get 24 points and tie the game up. No, you don't do it that way. It doesn't happen that way. You have to come out and make baskets at 2 and 3 points at a time. And you have to play great defense. And you have to go forward and keep your mind on the game. And we as Christians have to do the same thing. You see, government is not a spectator sport. It's a participation sport. It's something that we have to get involved with. It's not something that we sit back and talk about government and react to the things that are going on. We're not spectators watching the football game. We are participating in the game. We have to keep our minds on the game. Our programs up until now have been to show that government does belong to God. When godless people run government, the people suffer. Okay? Godly people run government, and the people have liberty. Our 92-page book, When Good Men Do Nothing, Who Will Speak?, will give more scripture and more explanation as to why it is the Christian's responsibility to take care of God's government. It does take money to do the kind of program that we are doing, and you, as a listener, are the only means we have to carry on and expand our program. If you send us a gift of at least $25, we would like to send you a copy of When Good Men Do Nothing, Who Will Speak? Our address is 14505 Nathan Hale Lane, North Fort Myers, Florida, 33917. Now I would like to give you some key dates that will begin building a history background concerning America. We would never exhaust this background, but perhaps it will give us a better understanding of the world and of America. These dates are perhaps a kind of outline of the events that caused the direction of our America to take place. We did this as a study in the Old Testament, taking certain dates and putting them in their place and understanding the areas that they were happening. And it makes things a lot better and a lot easier to understand. I would like for us just to slightly go over some of these things. And then next time, we'll start studying each one of them. I'm going to give the dates now and what they're about, and it'll give you an idea of what we have coming up. First of all, we're going to take the date 1215. That's the year of the Magna Carta. Then we're going to take the date of 1765, and that's Sir William Blackstone. And then 1848, Karl Marx. And Karl Marx is the one who wrote the Communist Manifesto, again in 1848. He had a competitor who used to talk about, go against him all the time, and showing how he was so wrong in what he was thinking. And Karl Marx was from Germany. Friedrich Bastiat was from France. And yet they both have a big say in our country of America. Charles Darwin was from England. He had a big say in the direction that our country took, because a lot of godless people followed him. And then Louis Pasteur also had a big thing going for us. Louis Pasteur, 3 years after Darwin wrote his book, The Origin of Species, which is not the full title, but Louis Pasteur proved that Darwin's book was a false premise. And then John Dewey is considered to be the father of our modern public schools, and he was a communist. Margaret Sanger was a communist. She had a lot to do with what's going on. Roger Baldwin, he also was a communist, and he had a lot to do with what's going on. Saul Alinsky wrote a book, Rules for Radicals, and he has a lot going on of the bad things going on in America. And he was a big communist. It's amazing to be able to follow some of these things, and you begin understanding what's really going on. And so we're going to begin next time, and we're going to start with these, and we're not going to be able to get them all through in one program, but we're going to help you to have a better idea of the direction we're going so that you will have an understanding of all the things that make America so great and all the people who went against us to destroy this country. All right, thank you so much. Talk to you later. So comes the end of today's message. We appreciate so much that you spent time to be with us. If you enjoy our program, would you please take time to send us any questions you might have, along with a love offering of any amount? And if you send at least $25, we will send you a 92-page book, When Good Men Do Nothing, Who Will Speak? Our address is The Patriot, 1776, at 14505 Nathan Hale Lane, North Fort Myers, Florida, 33917. Again, The Patriot, 1776. The address is 14505 Nathan Hale Lane, North Fort Myers, Florida, 33917. Talk to you again next time. Goodbye now.